Hello and welcome to the First Impressions podcast. My name's Chris John Riley, and together with my co-host Martin McKay, we'll be talking to presenters at the upcoming FIRST conference taking place in Denver, Colorado between June 14th and 19th, 2026. We look forward to seeing you at the conference, and now we join our interview in progress. Welcome to the new season of First Impressions podcast. This time I'm lucky enough to be talking to Moore Weinberger, software architect, and Leo Kaplan, open source architect at Kaplan Open Source. Their talk at the upcoming FIRST conference, From Discovery to Fix, What 10,000 Open Source Projects Reveal About CVE Remediation, is going to cover remediation patterns across multiple open source projects. Thank you very much for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
So maybe you can give us a quick TLDR for those people listening about what you're going to be talking about at the upcoming conference.
Yeah, so maybe I will start with a quick intro that will give the right background from where we came from. Basically, I'm living and breathing cybersecurity for the last 10 years. I work at Microsoft building runtime security solution, also vulnerability management solution in scale, then work at small supply chain security company called the Argon. Surprise, we're also dealing with CVEs required by Aqua Security, building cloud security solutions. And today I'm working at Echo as an architect, which we're actually trying to build something that sounds too good to be true. We're trying to build container images that are cleaned from CVEs. And what we're actually doing is that we take open source project, the most popular one that everybody is using, like for database Postgres, Redis, and other stuff. And we build them from source, apply fixes, and ship them clean. And why I'm telling you this is at this position where we're building this solution, Lior and I met. And while we're struggling with cleaning those CVEs, we experienced the same frustration, but from the other side. Leo, if you want to share your point of view, it could give also.
So I'm a member of quite a few open source projects, and in the past I had the chance to be part of the PHP group security team, especially managing the patches for both Xen, the PHP company, and various Linux distributions, both coordination and the actual patch management. And with that and my experience with the Debian GNU Linux distribution, I have an experience of how does patch management look from the open source aspect. And we, in between trying to eliminate the CVEs for Echo and doing the open source work, find that there's gaps in the process. Some of it is about discovery, some of it about creation, the fix, and some of it is actually applying that and managing it for the future. And during the talk, we cover what are the journey that we see of the process and what are the gaps that we identified over doing it repeatedly along a lot of open source projects and over a long period of time.
You've done an analysis over 10,000 CVEs, and we're seeing an annual increase year on year that we haven't really expected to see. And I expect that to be accelerating in the future with the latest vulnerability analysis done by AI and a lot more focus on security. How did you find people are implementing these kind of fixes? Are the CVEs just coming out and then immediately being implemented? Or is there this, as you say, this window of opportunity and this gap between something being released and it actually hitting the end user?
A very good question. So basically what we did in order to answer this question, because we also asked this question as well, both from our side to build a solution, but also basically every company that's trying to eliminate to fix those CVEs, trying to answer this question. So around the research, we scan for the last year the most popular open source projects at daily base, and we tracked those CVEs from the very beginning that they got published until they was detected on the project, on the container image, the open source project, the fix was introduced, and until the project was able to clean this image. And we actually build journeys, CVE journeys. We collect more than 40K unique journeys like that. And when we have this data set, we were able to start and running analysis to find exactly where the lag, what is the most painful challenge that introduced the lag. So this is just to give the right context. And the first thing that we saw is that around 90% of those CVE has a fix, which is available, but just not applied. And we try to see like how bad is the situation. So we saw that around 40% of those CVE live inside those container image projects for more than 6 months, which is quite crazy, right? This is the current situation of the open source projects. And this position, we started to investigate it and starting to understand what exactly happened, where is the challenges. And in order to do that, we actually started by describing the path, what is the, you know, the journey of the CVE from the publish until it got reported into the project, the fix was developed, you know, that kind of stuff. And along the way, we actually find some challenges that we can describe.
So the journey we foresee or try to formalize, and that is some of the part of what we did for the talk, is that we divide it into a few parts. The first part is discovery. As you mentioned earlier, there's a lot of pressure around that with AI. There's a lot of bug bounties and so on. And that relays to an increasing number of CVEs found year on year. Last year, it was about 40,000 CVEs found. And then there's a time where the submission of the CV is being reviewed. It takes time to verify the submission, then also create the fix. The second part of the journey is actually getting the fix and deliver it to the end user. And that as well has a long process, as we know from supply chain. Sometimes you're the direct user for a project. Sometimes the project you use is actually has a dependency on another project with a fix. So it takes time for the fix to propagate through your supply chain. And in that whole journey, we saw a few gaps along it.
You mentioned a timeline there of up to 6 months, I think you mentioned, for that whole journey. And I'm guessing that's to the point where it becomes available for a company or an individual to then start looking at their internal patching. So even though 6 months seems like a long time scale, it could actually be 7 to 9 months, depending on what the patching schedule is for a company as well internally.
There's of course edge cases, and some fixes might take even longer. Mm-hmm. And it also depends on adoption, because even if there's a fix available, not everyone are keen to upgrade immediately. Even if it would shorten their deliverable cycle, they might say, we want to wait for maintenance window. We change our operating system every once in a year and a half, in 2 years. It's mission critical, and we don't have and change the major version of the software. It could be a programming language which might have a lot of other requirements to upgrade. Applying the version with the fix is not always easy.
Yeah, often you hit across that where an update to the new version might also bring in API changes that break things that rely on it, and then you need to rework a lot of things.
And one of the things we saw, that some of the upgrades might also bring new bugs, general bugs. And in some cases, using the latest version just to have all the CVEs applied also bring more security problems, which are relatively undiscovered, but you'll find about them quite soon.
Putting aside the mess that I think we're in a little bit on that side of things, what's the good side of it? There's got to be a good message for here. You know, how can we as an industry look to improve these kind of things? I guess that's the goal here. How can we make the situation better?
So one of the things we saw, that especially with containers, is that some of the default containers open source project offer are relatively bloated. And then if we use a more minimalized version, and not completely stripped out, but we can remove some of the bloatness and save quite a lot of the CVEs. More, it was around 40-50% of the CVEs. And that would save you from a lot of, not necessarily headaches, but would save you from a lot of noise on your reporting system and CV management platform with things you need to deal or evaluate. Trying to use the minor versions also improve the fix time because the components are more popular and also get more attention. There are less edge cases in a lot of senses.
It's not only about reducing like the CV management hassle. It's also about reducing the attack surface. As we saw when attacker actually exploiting some of the CVEs, he is trying to use some of the tools that if we were like remove them from the first place, like some, you know, like bash, some dev tools or like building tools, stuff like that, it would be make the attacker's life much harder and reduce the attack surface. Lior like touch it a little bit, but the good news, I think, as we saw with the recent announcement by Anthropic Mythos, and in the last month, there are like a lot of announcements from the AI companies that they are able to discover the CVE and also like develop an exploit very fast. If we're dealing with the first part of the journey from the discovery until developing a fix, so we see a huge improvement. Yeah, which actually moved the pressure around the second part of the journey, which is actually propagating and applying those fixes. And as you mentioned, there are some flavors that the most popular project actually offer, like the minimalist version, and there are like more open source tools that can help you to keep up with detecting and trying to apply those fixes, like GitHub has one called Dependabot. There are like Renovate, which is another open source tools that help you like automate the process of scanning for CVE, finding if there are like available fix and help you with this change.
There's a couple of different areas that I was interested in following. One was, you know, talking about that idea about us being able to speed up patching. And I know there's end user software that's very much moved in the direction of, you know, almost forced patching, you know, Chrome being an example of, hey, there's a new version, just restart to implement this. And that's not really been something you've seen on the corporate business side because of those complications. Upgrading is not usually as simple as there's a new version, let me just restart the service and everything's going to be fine, where it has been with end user software like Chrome. Do you see that as a direction that we're going to have to move? Because with the speed of AI developing exploits, if we can't also implement the speed of patching, there's going to be such a window there that the risk is going to be huge.
It's an issue of policy with the software makers or maintainers, how long they're going to support their releases. Do they have a long-term release branch for which they're going to provide some kind of support over a long period of time? Would they just say, okay, use the latest? We are not able to do that. Do they get any kind of monetary incentive or support to do that? There's a difference between open source project, which has a lot of interest from commercial companies that are willing to invest. If you mention Chrome, it has interest from both Google and Microsoft because it's also the underneath project for Edge and other vendors. Comparing to some fundamental open source project with don't necessarily get the funding, or it's hard for them to get the funding because they're deeper in the supply chain. They're not in the front of it. I would say quote unquote in the sexy part of the supply chain. And then for them, it's harder to secure these resources. There's a few projects that would try to encourage that. There's a lot of libraries which ask for donations, but if a company would look at their supply chain, it would try to identify 5, 10 core projects they're willing to invest a little bit money of it, I think it would help to improve the situation immensely. Prefer to put their money when it's popular or they get a banner and that's it.
Yeah, often like visibility into that supply chain is just not there, right? You know, if you dig deep, you're going to find a lot of open source that's being used, even if you think you're not using open source. Like this software you use is using open source.
Of course. Don't forget that for the ecosystem in general, it might be easier to get funding of a conference of that specific software than to get a funding for security of a specific software. It's the same project, same money, different causes, but the effect of the security would probably last longer and have a more impact over time.
Yeah. The other question I had is the CVEs you looked at and you did the analysis of, did you see a big difference between things that were rated as high risks, high CVSS versus low CVSS? You know, looking at a CVE is not always the same, right? For example, a low risk CVE on a piece of software that runs on the desktop where you'd already have to be there for privilege escalation is maybe less of an issue than full remote code execution in Apache, right? So there's levels to this. Did you see it across the board as the same kind of timelines, or was there a big difference in risks here?
We did make this analysis, and we see improvement both in the fixed percentage. So the higher the severity the CVE is, the more chances that a fix will be available, will be introduced. And also with the time, it took the fix that will be available. Sorry. So we definitely see that the maintainers, the ecosystem, actually try to prioritize based on the severity. Like, unlike low severity, that has the most chances that, again, fix might not be available or it would take too much time.
So for people who are going to be attending the conference in June, what do you hope they get out of your talk? So if they're coming to the talk, what do you hope they get out of it?
The first thing is that we want to share the journey of what it actually means that you have a CVE for your on your container, and now what? So we really want to give a glimpse into your point of view, where is the maintainers, the ecosystem point of view, what are the struggling that they are dealing with, why it takes so long for them to introduce new fix and new release. And also on the remediation side of the audience that actually dealing with those CVEs, what they can do about it, where should they start, what is the most impactful remediation step that they should start with in order to, you know, to get the most ROI in that matter. So we will dive into each area, each techniques, and share some insight around that. Yep.
I would add that we want them to understand some of the complexity behind both CVE discovery, fix, and their ability to apply them. Hopefully the insights would help them to plan how they want to deal with it or create some kind of boundaries around the area which are harder. And hopefully make them understand a little bit that the people who created the fixes are also volunteers. And if they really need something in a specific area, they should step up to it and try to help. And I think one of the, contrary from what they're hearing on the news, the part that which AI is blasting people with is the discovery part, but the fix part is not that easy, especially with keeping the software working, consistent, and so on. And of course, not breaking things just out of a security fix. And they need to also understand there's a gap between what they might be promised by the news and what they might get when they actually need to get a fix done.
Yeah, we're definitely on the hype curve somewhere.
Absolutely.
So is there anything I haven't asked that you'd really like to make sure you share with the listeners?
I think that their supply chain is an important part of how their product and software work, and they can't ignore it. Trying to postpone things will explode when a big problem arises. And hopefully this conversation will help them take a little glance on what's under the hood.
Thank you very much. I've been talking to Mor Weinberger and Lior Kaplan and their upcoming talk at the FIRST conference, From Discovery to Fix, What 10,000 Open Source Projects Reveal About CVE Remediation. Make sure you pop along to the talk, take part in that, and hopefully together we can start to make things just a little bit better.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the FIRST Impressions podcast, the official podcast of the FIRST conference. The upcoming FIRST conference is taking place in Denver, Colorado, between June 14th and 19th. Looking forward to seeing you there.